İşte nere koşsunda, daradaka. İşte daradaka şimdi. Şimdi daradaka. Lord God, have your way in Jesus' name. I should remember. I don't even know how that's gonna go. We've been talking. We've been talking week after week after week after week after week after week about the fire of God and about the water. The fire of God and the water, they go hand in hand. We can also include the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe, as my sister said, that when God sees us, because we are washed in the blood, we are deemed righteous. Because we have allegiance to and with Jesus Christ. Well, as you know, my title is Revive Me Once Again. Amen. Ignite My Fire. Amen. I have to sort of keep a little dignant today because it goes over the airwaves of the internet, of YouTube. So I apologize in advance for any screaming I may scream, any words that I may pronounce incorrectly. So get over it. This is actually a message that I actually gave here about 2 years ago. 3 years ago, it was March the 19th, 2019. But prior to that, this is an eight-part series in which I ministered probably maybe 7, 8 years ago. And it's talking revival. And this is the very first part, the very first lesson. From time to time, people, we all need to be revived. What do I mean? From time to time, your fire needs to be restoked. You know when your fire going out, when you sit there with this sorry looking face. Or I'm telling you when your fire gone, because when you're judging everybody else, ain't no fire going on. We can be some religious folk. Many times we don't even recognize that our fire has gone out. Now, there may be some coals there. See, I was Boy Scout. There may be some coals there. And I like burning wood stove. from time to time, you got to blow. Put that wood on it to bring that fire back ablaze. Just hold that. Because many today are church folk. Many are saved. But how many are on fire for God? God says he'd rather for us to be hot or cold. Which one do you want to be? Jeremiah talked about fire shut up in my bones. How can fire be in you and you?
That's right.
I'm speaking in the natural. Fire. God says that we are a peculiar people.
Yeah.
This is not our home.
Amen.
This is not our home. No, we're to put too much stake into this place here. I don't know what I got going on here, Junior. But oh, praise the Lord. All right. 2 Chronicles 7. 11:14. I'm telling you. This is a recipe for revival. Now, I will tell you this, that true revival first comes to the leadership. I can't get around that. It comes to the leadership. Because the team takes on the characteristics of the coaches. Fire begets fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't talking religion. I ain't talking prayer. I'm not talking fasting. I'm talking the fire of God. Thus, Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. And all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord and his own house. It affected him. And the Lord appealed to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Is your physical body a sacrifice to God? Because that's the house that he dwells in. Or is it yours? Mine. I'm going to do it my way. Once we get saved, it is our reasonable service to sacrifice to God. When you look at all that he's done, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence amongst my people, we hear this voice, this verse coming, but do we really hear it? Because if we really hear it, we're gonna do it. I'm talking me. I'm not exempt. See, we get too big in our britches sometimes. We preachers, we pastors, we evangelists, we teachers, we prophets. We become too big for our britches, and there's no room for God. Now, people listen, but it's you. Mm-mm. I want God to break me down, because I can't send you to heaven. I want God to break me down, humble me. humble me. I don't want no pride, me boasting, being arrogant, what I call false humility. Sometimes we skip and people can't hear it. They're not able to discern because they're not in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust. What does that mean? That means it's not I, but thy. I can do nothing without Christ. But I can do stuff, but it's man striving, as the word says. 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble, humility, people, humility. The world can see when we are prideful. Many church folk are not able to discern it because we are so heavily minded. But there's a lot to be said about humility. When God's move you over here, can you let God? Or it's about me. No, that's not God. There's a lot to be said about humility. Because the opposite of humility is pride and lifting yourself up. That's one of the reasons why Lucifer fell. The most powerful entity, most beautiful. A little knowledge puffeth up. Don't even talk about power. God had given him power. Oh, he kicked it with God for years and years and years. But he's, oh, I can do this. Wait a minute. You don't need God. You just need me. You don't need God because I have all the answers. Go on somewhere here. Listen in the Spirit. And those angels listened. And because of that, a third humongous number. Because God's a big God. He created the heavens and the earth, the universe. All the stars are suns. And around those suns, there's a universe and those are planets. So we can't even count that. Get I out of the way. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Ain't just about praying. I love praying. Pastor Tony loved praying. But you can, did you know you can pray and not be humble? You can pray until you blue in the face and we can stir up a crowd. But because of that, that doesn't mean you're humble. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. What does it say now? Huh? So you can be humble and pray and still not be seeking God. That's what it says. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and say, God, show me me. Show me, I mean, none of us in here is exempt. God, show me me. Don't show me Renee. Don't show me my children. Don't show me my brother here. Don't show me my sister here. Don't show me my brother here. Let me tell you, because, see, when we look at other people, all we're looking at, we're trying to find a fault, a flaw. I want them who doesn't have a flaw to raise their hand. Or a fault. Raise anybody? Show me me. Show me me, God. Keep in mind, it's a personal relationship. The more we commune with God, or we kick it with God, the more we take on his character and his nature. So if you're struggling, you're still dealing with these issues, you need to spend more time with God, not people. Because eventually you're going to see a flaw. Now, you do want to hang around people who are anointed, but they still are not God. God is God, all by himself. If my people were to call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, oh, seek my face, oh Lord, here we go, and turn. Didn't say, and turn from Renee's wicked ways, Michael's wicked ways. He tells all of us to turn from your. See, we want to hear in today's dispensation, in this time, we want to hear a message that is going to make you feel good, but the heart is not changed. It's all about the changing of our hearts. Amen. We've got to step back and let God. And seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal the land. And now my ears will be attuned unto this land. Keep in mind, this is about reviving us and igniting the fire. Revival fire. One thing that has always perplexed me is when I hear Christians sometimes talk about church and worship as if it's exhausting, as if it will make them tired to do it. People say all the time, I'm just too tired to go to church. Implication is that church would just wear them out. It would just make them too exhausted. But I very rarely hear people say, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm going to church to get fired up and to get rejuvenated and re-energized. Think about it. We have 24 hours in a week, in a day, 7 days a week. Just think about this. We come to, well, we come to church every day. Somebody's here. But corporately, we come just one day. What, a couple of hours maybe? Yeah. 10 to 12? 10 to 1, you said. But then just think about it. A couple of hours. And when it comes to the things of God, we shucking and jiving. All right, Sheila talked too long. But she need to keep on talking. Why she got them coming up here? Why not? Like, oh, we're on a time frame. I thought this was God's time. How many of you going home? Oh, I can tell you, because I'm doing it. I'm doing it today. I did it yesterday. I fell asleep on it. Watching the playoffs. Well, I fell asleep on it, woke up. How long is the play? How long is just one game? How many hours is it? But 2 hours. 2.5. Maybe 3 if you get on the overtime. And the playoffs is almost every day. Right now. So, I tell my wife, I said, well, baby, I mean, I love sports, but I really only watch sports during the playoffs. So she don't have a whole lot to complain about. Now, her brother, that thing is watching sports 24/7. But when the playoffs get here, she says, what you doing? What you think I'm doing? I don't talk to her like that. But think about it. 2.5 hours. And we can't come. How come we can't come and give him 4 hours? 5 hours. 6 hours. Now, let me tell you something. I don't want to be up in here giving those 6 hours if God ain't in here. I'm okay. I don't want to be doing that if God ain't here and all I hear is a bunch of you. But I'm telling you, when revival comes and God is in the house, you don't want to leave his presence. You don't want to leave the presence of the Holy God. El Shaddai. You don't want to, it's like time is of no essence. Because to God, time is of no essence. When God is in the house, next thing you look, it's been 5 hours. You don't even know it. Because you're not in the flesh. You focus on God. King David said in Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusted in him. And I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise thee. There's something about praise and worship, people. I ain't talking just singing. There is something about when we praise the Lord thy God on high. Something supernaturally happens in your spirit. The glory comes upon you. God says, I inhabit the praises of my people, of Israel, of my children. Not just your singing. See, you can praise God without singing. You praise God. You can praise him and not say anything. You praise him in how you walk. You praise him in how you talk. You praise him in how you teach, how you treat people. You praise him in how you love. Now you also praise him when you sing. That's not the only way. I think we can all think of times when our hearts leaped with joy, when our hearts were aflame with God. Is your heart aflame? Or are you going through the motions of Christianity? We all have been there. I've been there. Or are you want the fire. You want the glory. But you're just going through the motion. You're trying to stir it up, but nothing happening. You fall right back. You must remember, though, people, that fire must be refueled or it will go out. Jesus always ministered via parables because he was trying to use a natural thing or situation to reveal to us that in the spirit, because we're just too stupid to understand it that way. It's the truth. We're sheep. We think we're smart. We think we all that in a bag of chips. We look good. Some of us got degrees and all this other stuff. You're still stupid. We are not like God. He is the creator and we are the creation. He is the potter and we are the clay. Has your fire gone out? Or is it just smoldering? Now, as I'm preaching, I may lock eyes with you. This word, don't take offense. We all have been there where people have got offended because our eyes touched their eyes. And I have no idea what you're going through other than God. I remember I told this last week. Oh, who did I? I forget who I told it to. It was Monday. And I was sharing, I said, as a pastor, we have to have tough skin, but a soft heart. It's true. Because you better love folk. And I remember one Sunday I was preaching. I don't even remember what it was. My eyes must have locked with one of the members. Man, that thing took an offense. Boy, my wife and I we went by the house. The husband was fine. And I remember going, and that woman was hot as a hornet. So I just let her vent. Sometimes keep your mouth shut. Just let people vent and it will bring deliverance. Don't always try to defend yourself, making excuses. Keep your mouth shut. Let God do his thing. That woman went, I had to grab my wife ready to, because she's going to defend me. You know. Oh, you better not, you mess with me if you won't. Go ahead. You got something on your hand. Even if I'm wrong now. So I'm holding her. And I'm looking at the husband. Husband's looking at me. And we're fine. As she went, and I just let her. And I just told her at the end, I said, well, sister, if I said or did anything that offended you, I want to ask you that you forgive me. I'm sorry. Even though I didn't, take the low road sometimes. Then at the end of everything, she said, well, but you looked at me. I said, sister, I'm looking at everybody in the congregation. And so at the end, I said, could it have been possible that the Holy Spirit was convicting you about something? At the end, everything was good.
Amen.
A pastor has to have tough skin and a soft heart. If you want to get into the ministry of dealing with people, you better let God deal with you first. Because you may mess some folk up. See, God doesn't call those that he equips. He equips those that he calls. So you better make sure you don't snap off in your mouth with people. All right, let's get back. Well, maybe we see evangelism. We hear about evangelism. We see when we read the book of Acts that particular church, there was so much going on in the spirit, in them listening and moving with God. So I have a question. What is revival? What exactly is revival? Think about it. We hear it a lot. Revival isn't for the world. Is not for the saved. I mean unsaved. Revival is for the children of God. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked way. That's the recipe for revival. As Sister Sheila said, but do you want to hold on to your sin? Do you want to hold on to that sin? Now to you, that particular sin may not be that bad, but it's bad enough to stop God from moving forth. Always remember that sin is what separates us from God. So what is revival? There are 1,000 different definitions out there, but here's the one I like the best. Revival is experienced when God visits his people to awaken them spiritually. So what that is saying is many of us are in church 24/7. Well, not 24/7, well, you should be communing with God, but we've been in church and we are in church, and many who are listening by YouTube, you go to church. But there is a lack there. Oh, I go to this church. Oh, we have all this and we have all that. That's really not what it's about. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with the wonderful facilities as we have. But I don't put my stock and my stake in that. When God visits, it's not something that man does. You can't conjure up a revival. I believe Pastor Tony said this past Monday. People, you need to come out to Bible study. It's really good. Informative. And quite the contrary, he is a little funny. But as he said, you can't teach the anointing.
Amen.
You either are anointed or you're not. And the anointing comes from God.
Hallelujah.
The anointing comes from spending time with God. Now, people, I'm talking individually. That's, I'm going to be honest with you. That is one of, my wife can tell you, I adore my private time with my Father. It's nice when I get together with others to pray. Keep in mind a personal relationship. I adore my private time with my Father.
Hallelujah.
And just he and myself to hear what he is saying, to receive whatever he wants me to receive. It's for me, that is a special time. Even when I go out, I love going where people are and going to the park and walking and praying and just looking at people through the eyes of God. Not judging, not loving people. Love people. As we walk in love, people will come to know the Lord thy God. But I believe, as she said again, what are you projecting? When God visits, it's not something that man does. The song sings, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Let each soul rekindle. With what? Fire from above. Revival happens when God visits his people and awakens them spiritually. See, we can read the word, we can be praying, but we still may be sleepy spiritually. And revival can happen in many ways. For example, revival can happen at a group level, at an individual level, at a community level, even at a national level. One of the most famous revivals in the last century was the Wales revival, where 100,000 people came to know Christ within 5 months. Revival is throughout the Bible. It's in the Bible, where God comes and restores and rekindles the people that he loves. This revival was very helpful and very powerful. They had to start closing the bars because people stopped going to them. Think about it. They had to let the wardens off at the prisons because there was no one in jail. This is a true revival, people. The whole nation was having revival. The most amazing thing to me was that the minds were having trouble getting the miners were having trouble getting the mules to work. Now listen to this, because so many of the miners became Christians and the mules only knew how to work when they were cursed at. Because the miners stopped cursing and the mules just didn't know what to do. They had learned certain curse words meant to go. Certain curse words meant to stop. Had to get saved. Here's what it said about the whale's revival. The churches are full of people. Listen to this one. The churches are full of people, and the people are full of God. The churches are full of people, and the people are full of God. Can we say that? I'm not talking just us. In our churches in the United States, the churches are filled with people, and the people are filled with the presence of God. That's something to think about. That's something for me to think about and to ponder. One of the best definitions of revival from the Bible is out of Acts 3:19, where Peter says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord thy God." Refreshing comes from God. Doesn't come from me. Doesn't come. I love prayer. It doesn't come from necessarily from prayer. It doesn't come necessarily from fasting. It doesn't necessarily come from the reading of the word. See, some of us have been saved for a minute or two. So these are things that we do. Because we have become accustomed. But that still doesn't mean I don't need my fire to be rekindled. Does your fire, has your fire gone out? Have you lost your focus? Have you lost what you're supposed to do? Have you lost your intensity for God? Have you lost your love for mankind? Or did you ever have it? I'm saved and it's just for me. I'm saved and it's just for me. It's not for the thief. It's not for the drug addict. It's not for the prostitute. It's not for the whoremonger. It's just for me. Look at what she's doing. Look at her. Look at him. Baby, you better look at yourself. Too many of us are always looking at others. Focus and stay your eyes on Jesus. True revival is a time of refreshing that comes from the Lord. It rekindles the fire in the souls of God's people. We need a fire. Why? God says he comes on the scene as a consuming fire. If you don't like fire, then you take it up with God. He never asked my opinion on it. He also says, I'd rather for you to be hot or cold. Take it up with God. Once again, he didn't ask my opinion on it. He didn't ask your opinion. Well, I'm a good person. Well, good people go to hell all the time. Well, I never hurt nobody. Well, good for you, baby. Well, I never stole anything. Blah, blah, blah. You have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is it in a nutshell. So now when revival comes, some great thing happens. God's people will have a new passion for prayer. I don't mean just pray. God's people will have a new passion and zeal for prayer. I'm talking prayer where you on your knees. Show me. I want more of you, God. See, too many times we're praying for this or that and all this. That's good. But for revival to come, I have to be changed. Amen. I have to be touched. I have to be humbled. Yes. I have to lay down a new type of prayer, of passion. God's people will have a new passion for worship. Yes. For worship. Hallelujah. People, I've said this before. I wasn't saved through a pastor. I wasn't saved. I preach, I'm a pastor. We need it. Something about the anointed praise and worship, people. I was saved by the anointed praise and worship. The glory of God came in and touched me. And I haven't been the same since. I put a premium on praise and worship. I put a premium on it. Because if it could do that for me, I know it can do it for others. See, many times God has to get us out the way because we think, oh, they need me. No, they need God. Oh, you need me, Lord, to stand up, get the benediction. You need me to do all. No. God said, boy, get out the way. I'm going to do it my way. When revival comes, God, people will have a new passion for praise. Praise and worship is different. Worship, I'm worshiping the Lord thy God for his goodness. But I'm going to praise you, Lord God. I'm going to dance like David. I don't care what others think. I don't care if I look foolish. I look foolish for God. How many of us go to sports events or whatever? Oh, you're looking at the soap operas. And you can get excited. But you can't get excited in the house of God. We talk about our service being 2 hours. Well, the man of God better not preach for an hour and a half. Do you realize how ridiculous that sounds? Service went on. No, they went on a little bit too long. Think about how ridiculous that sounds. How many hours in a week? He's just too long, wasn't it? It might be. I don't really want to listen to someone, especially if it ain't nothing coming out there. If it's all about you and I don't feel the anointing. People, there's a difference between being charismatic and being anointed. There's a difference. So I don't want to hear it. If all I hear is about, I can hear that person and not God. I'll tune you out, boy. I don't want nothing to do with it. I like, okay, I'm ready to go. This enough. I know you feel that. Yeah, I know Junior feel it. All right. God's people will have a new passion for God's word when revival comes. We will have a new passion for the word of God, because the word of God is God. God's people will have a new passion for their church and to come to church. People, this was prepared before any of you got in here. So if it hit in some of you, take that up with the Father. When revival comes, we will see a renewed confession, even a ruthless confession of sin, and a real renewed commitment to holiness. We don't hear that much. God says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." How can a creature that is saved, still struggling with sin, be holy? How can we? Because God is a holy God. There is no sin in God. God, there are things God can't do. You do know that. There are certain things that he can't do everything. There are things he just cannot do. Y'all are looking at me like, what is this fool talking about? He can't lie. He cannot go against his word. He cannot love you. I ain't lying. When revival comes, a lot of things that we used to tolerate, we won't tolerate in our lives any longer. What is it in your life that you're tolerating that you know displeases the Father? It could be you, because it's all about you. See, God will allow us to masquerade for a season. Over time, that mask is going to be pulled off. And we will see what we have been looking at. Truth. Now, when true revival comes, we will see an increased burden for the lost. Amen. And an emphasis on evangelism. We get off track so much. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Revival is always followed by great numbers of people coming to Christ. But the amazing thing about revival is that it cannot be manufactured. Amen. If it could, I would have already bought a kit, and I would have done it a long time ago. But revival is heaven sent, not man made. God cannot be forced in sending revival by anything we do. Well, let's just back it up. Certain things we must do. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face. Oh, I love the last one. God called us wicked. God don't mince words. Because we come in and we looking good, we smelling good, hopefully. Taking our showers, got the powder on, got the deodorant on, did the hair last night, cut your hair. Pastor Eric got that beard all shaved, the same length all around. I don't notice it. And so we do these things. Revival is a sovereign visitation of God when he restores life into his weak church. Us's. I don't care how anointed you might think you are, how much you might think you know or don't know, you still need more God. I'm not exempt. I don't care how many degrees you might think you have. What difference does that make if you're going to bust hell wide open? I do believe in education. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. I do believe in education. It's a way out of poverty. But a little knowledge puffeth up. Got to have that heart right, people.
Amen.
Revival is a sovereign visitation of God where he restores life into his weak people. He cannot be obligated to send revival, but he longs to send it. He loves you just the way you are. But because he loves you so much, he refuses to leave you where you are.
Amen.
He longs to awaken his church. He longs to get that sleeping giant up onto its feet. So that subnormal becomes abnormal and normal comes back. We must understand we cannot organize a move of the Spirit of God. But we can set ourselves to catch the wind when he blows. Why is he blowing? Your coals are just barely glowing. Mighty rushing wind. He blows. To bring that fire back ablaze. And it's not just good enough to just bring the fire back ablaze. He has to put kindling and wood so it will become and stay ablaze. Revival is needed because we are prone to let our love for God grow cold for all of us. We say we love God. Then God don't hear from me. It's like me saying I love my wife. Let me tell you something. Actions speak louder than words. I can tell my wife I love her all day long. But I won't come home at night.
Okay, ma'am.
Or when I go out, she's wondering, what's that rascal doing? Mm-hmm. Or I say I love her. And yet I'm always gawking at other women. understand we are the bride of Christ. And if my son was dating a young girl and I find out that she kicking it with some other guys, I'm talking about me as a father. If my son Paul is dating a girl, everything looks good, but all of a sudden I find out, oh, I see her out and she's with another guy, do you think I would just let sleeping dogs lie? But we say we are Christians. The word says we are the bride of Christ. But how many of you are having an affair on the Holy Spirit, on God? How many of you listening to me by YouTube, you say you saved. You know you're the bride of Christ, but yet you kicking it after hours with the world. You think God is going to let you wed his son? I don't think so. Talks about the last days. Many are going to say, Father, Father. Look, look. Didn't I lay hands upon the sick? Didn't I prophesy? Boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, he did all those things. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. God ain't playing. God said, don't fear the one that can destroy the body. You better fear the one that can destroy the body and cast the soul into hell. Even the most righteous individual going to barely make it in. It says that we are vastly, barely saved. This thing of salvation ain't nothing to play with. Let me tell you something. God ain't nothing to play with. I won't play with him. I'd rather hurt myself than to hurt one of you. I'd rather hurt myself than to hurt one of God's people. Woe, God says, woe unto you who causes the least of these to go astray. Revival is needed because we are prone to let our love for God grow cold. The problem is that we all tend to leak. I always say we all are crackpots. Each of us leak. Okay? I leak. My wife leak. You definitely leak. Y'all leaking all the time. But we all leak. Yeah. And see, when we get saved, God takes that super glue because we're all broken. And he puts it back together. But there's still some little bitty holes there. And so the problem is we all leak. Except Jesus. The Lord fills us up with his Holy Spirit and he starts a fire in our hearts. But after a while, that fire just doesn't burn as hot as it once did. A man by the name of Robert Robinson was born in 1737 in England and he grew up very, very poor. His father died when he was about 8 and he began to run around with local thugs, and he got out of control for his mother. One week, the town was holding a revival. Now, listen to this. The town was holding a revival with the great preacher George Whitfield. Okay? The boy and his friends decided they would go to the revival and break it up. Well, they went, and he went. But the preaching was so powerful that instead of breaking it up, He got it. He gave his life to the Lord and entered ministry. At the young age of 23, he wrote one of the greatest revival hymns, "Come Thou Font of Many Blessings." Only God can do it.
That's right.
He's going to go and break it up. That's the same with me. When I went to the couples revival, I won't think it twice about God. Matter of fact, I'm sitting there that particular Sunday. I'm sitting in my seat. I was like, "Lord," well, I ain't say Lord. I said, "I just need to hurry up, get away from these Christians. I want to go home. I want to smoke a joint. I need to hit some liquor." Because I was fed up with them. Tambourines everywhere. They looking all. I'm like, "What's up there?" Keep in mind, I'm not saved. I literally wanted to hurry up. I was so sick of being random folk. I wanted to get home and get as tore up as I possibly could get. Turn up. But God said, "Oh, you could get turned up. I got you now, boy." I still get high, but I get high off the Holy Spirit. I get drunk in the Spirit. Not perfect, but striving for perfection. Revival is needed because we often neglect to refuel our fire. In Revelation 2:4, God is talking to the church in Ephesus. He said, "You do a lot of good things, a lot of things I admire, but there is one thing that is wrong. You don't love me as you did at first." In relationship, it takes work. Even though we are married, we've been together for 48 years. I've been with this girl for, pray for me, I've been with her for 48 years. Hallelujah. I still have to wed her. You can take God for granted. I still say, "Baby, let's go out. Let's have a night out. Let's go downstairs. Let's watch a good movie. You choose." I ain't letting her choose no more. Because you know what women choose. They like them romances. And I'm like, But I'll sit there. "Baby, I thought we were watching a movie." "Put your phone down, Michael." But to keep a relationship going, it has to be renewed. Many of us take God for granted. Because we neglect to refuel our fire. Revival is needed because we neglect our love relationship with our Father. And it may not be something that we actually notice. That we don't love God as much as we once did. But I want you to know that God does notice. He does notice. So the question is this: how can we know that we need revival? What are the signs that the fire is burning low? Ask yourselves if these next things that I will read, if it applies to you. Don't look around at nobody else. So how do you know? Prayer is no longer a vital part of your life. It's just something you do occasionally. Now, you who pray, you ain't off the hook now. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, none of us are off the hook. Ask yourself this. I have grown content with my biblical understanding, and I don't hunger anymore. That's for those we who have been saved for a minute. Oh, you can't teach me nothing now. I know it all. No, not really. Once we stop learning and receiving from others, it's time for God to take us out of here. Or you're walking in extensive pride. Next one. We've gotten all the knowledge from the Bible that we need. We could sit in a class, talk about the Bible for hours, but not be different when we're done. One sure thing is that the gatherings of God's people are not eagerly anticipated. Another is certain sins can be indulged in our lives and we're not even convicted of them. And we know that it is sin. We can listen to, read, watch morally degrading material in the name of entertainment. Oh, that hits all of us. Divisions and quarrels in our fellowship, oh, it don't bother you. Should. A house divided cannot stand. Injustice and human misery almost never cross your mind. Never think about or sense God's presence in your life. I'm skipping a lot. God wants revival more than we do. He yearns for his people. He yearns to want to rekindle that fire, to bring us back into his presence. Never forget that we all, from time to time, need our fires to be rekindled, to have God to blow on our lives, to rekindle that yearning and that excitement for him and that intensity. In closing, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. If you are thirsting for more of God, than you have been for quite some time, are you thirsting for God? I truly believe that God will light the fire in each of our hearts when we come to that place, when we come to the realization, God, forgive me for I have taken you for granted. I want you to rekindle, reignite that revival fire in my heart. Let it begin with me. I'm tired, God, of just going through the motions. God, I want to be on fire for you. When we humble ourselves, people, and return from our wicked ways and seek God's face, then God will really light a fire. I want all eyes closed, all heads bowed. People, we talk a lot, we speak a lot. I don't want to say talk a lot, but we speak a lot. We minister a lot on the fire and on the water of God. I actually tried to get away from the fire, but I couldn't. What I want to do first is I want to ask that if you're here and you're not saved, you may have said it before, but there's been no change in your life. And I'm going to say this. If there's just 10% in your mind, if you knew that you were going to die today and there was 10% that you might not make it in heaven, you need to raise your hand. So if you are not saved, if there's a 5% chance that you feel that you might not make it into heaven, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Hold up. I'm going to wait on you. If you feel that if you were to die today, that there's 5%, 10% chance you might not make it in, raise your hand so that I can pray. Okay. Now, if your fire has gone out, this is not ritual for me. This is a necessity that God is saying. If your fire has gone out, if your fire is growing dim, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. If you want more intensity in your life, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. There's no shame in anybody's game, because I wish I could raise my hand. If you have lost your love for God as you once had, and you want that love restored for God, raise your hand so that I can pray. Okay. All right, those that raised their hand, I'd like for you to come forward, please. Let's do this quick. Everybody that raised their hand.